and welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. With much to say he has so much to share with us. When we get started following God, we're entering a great, great journey. As long as we live, the Lord can give us information to be a blessing to others. Secure our lives. Give us great joy, all at the same time. The peace of God. The peace of God is the most wonderful thing a man can experience. Because when, you know, because he has peace is fellowship. Peace, fellowshipping with the Lord is one of the best things you can ever do. Now, a lot of Christian people love God dearly. And they trust him, and they don't backslide. They continue to seek him. They enjoy going to the house of the Lord. And they're just a blessing to be around. But sometimes the same people don't know that they can go in the Lord's presence at their will. Now, praise and worship leaders and choirs, they lead people into God's presence. See, words, what you speak from the heart does the same thing. Songs are words. Songs are words of faith. The songs that they're singing, the reason they usher you into God's presence is because they're words of faith. And you see, music helps you release yourself into the Father's will. And you're singing songs of Zion. You're singing songs of refuge. You're singing songs of blessing. And your mind gets out of the way. And the praise goes up. And the glory comes down to you. Now, you can also go into the Lord's presence by speaking the words of love, telling the Lord that you love him sincerely, asking him questions so that you can grow, receiving the answers that he has to give. They help you to be strong so that when you're in his presence, you can ask him the questions you desire. I love to go in the Lord's presence and then listen to what he has to say. And every night before I go to sleep, I say, Lord, what is it you'd like to say now? And, you know, I talk about ministry stuff a lot. I talk about things that I need to know. Sometimes he reiterates the things that he's already said. And sometimes he'll show me something that I never saw in my life. And sometimes he'll remind me of something that he showed me and it was a blessing. But every time, he helped me to receive things in time to be a blessing to others, and likewise with my own life. He helps me make better decisions. Now, once God covers something, it's unusual for him to keep on going over it unless he's helping you establish the word in your heart. He'll do things he wouldn't normally do to help you win souls. So when the Lord speaks to me repetitiously, I put that on the top shelf. Even if I don't completely understand it, I put it on the top shelf. That's what's important for the day. My next step is in it. And the success of that next step is also in it. So when he guides me, I listen. You know, I believe in being a listening observer. And I learned so much from watching and listening than talking. Everybody that knew me coming up, they knew that I was quiet, but they didn't know I was an observer. I used to watch everything, well, most things anyway. I used to listen to people and see how they talk. I wanted to understand girls, so I would close my eyes when I was in the classroom if we were finished with our lesson, I'd act like I was asleep and I'd listen to what they were talking about because I wanted to know how they thought. I knew how guys thought because I was around them all the time, but I didn't know how the girls thought. And then I I said, well, I'm going to listen to everybody. I wanted to see how people thought. And I just listened to them carry on their conversations. They didn't know I was checking them out. And you learn, I do the Lord that way too. Whatever he say, I record it in my mind, in my heart, so that I can think about it and reform my opinions. See, opinions can get you in just as much trouble as they can be a blessing. So I like to change my opinions and learn his ways. In other words, I want my mind renewed. Because if my mind is renewed, then I'll be renewed and I'll live a new life. And my everyday routine can become a message of the Lord. My everyday routine can be a blessing to somebody. Everything I do, I want to be a blessing to people. I want to be in place to say the right thing at the right time to the right person. And I thank the Lord for when he puts me in place to say something that somebody needs. It's good. God governs. He loves his people. He reaches out. And he wants people to know him. And while you're doing all you know to do, the enemy's trying to tear down everything you're doing. He's trying to stall you, get you off track, get you focused on something that's not worthy. But when you watch the Lord and listen, he'll prepare you for opportunities that are coming your way. Beside the everyday opportunities he already gives. See, every day he gives us brand new opportunities. And when an opportunity comes for you to make money, cash in on it. Do it. Do the work. Do the honest work and earn the money. Because the Lord, and then ask the Lord for the plan for that, of the best plan you could have for that money. And he will bless you and help you. You know, a lot of people have become wealthy because they are givers. They bless the work of God. And they become very wealthy. And when the Lord puts you in a point, gives you an opportunity to be a blessing to someone, and he give you the means, he help you attain the means, and you have the will to do good to somebody, and you do it, you follow through according to his wisdom, not yours, but according to his wisdom, then greater doors will open. The ministry that I have, Living Letter Ministries, the way it started, the Lord gave me this word, this writing. It was a little different than messages that I would receive. So the thoughts started coming, so I started writing them down. And it was a list of things that pertain to life and godliness. So I started at like number 8, and I wrote all the way down. And when I got to the end, I stopped. And then the first part came, and I wrote the first 7 things or 8 things at the top of the page. And then a title came called "Coming to Life." That was the first writing I ever received from the Lord, and it's called a living letter. My mother said they were sermons, and they are in their own way. But this is something I can write down and pass along. I can give it to strangers. If I see somebody, I can go to my car and get one and give it to them. It opens the door for conversations. It gives people a scope of life. And many of my friends, I gave them writings like that years ago. And sometimes they clean it up and they'll find one and read it. And it blesses the current situation they have. The Lord give them, he bless them to encourage them or help them to do make the best choices when they read it. And they told me about it, different ones, even cousins. So when he gave me this writing, I had it on a notebook like most Christians do. They just leave it on a notebook and forget about it. But I had my notebook and I showed it to a friend of mine that owned an alternator shop. And He said, man, this is good. He said, get this typed up and make me a copy. And I did. And when I made a copy, instead of making one copy or three or four, I made 100 copies. Well, the same week my uncle died, Uncle Harry died. And it kind of shocked the family. We didn't expect him to die. And my cousin, I had 90 something copies in my truck. And I gave one to Wayne, and Wayne read and said, this is a blessing. He said, you ought to give this to the whole family. It'll bless the family right now. So I did. Gave everybody a copy. Well, as soon as I did that, the Lord gave me another writing. And then when I went to church, I passed out the rest of that 100 copies that I had. Then the next one I wrote, I had it typed and made copies, made 100 copies and passed them out. Well, then the Lord gave me another writing. I said, this is pretty good. So I kept doing it. And I did it for years. And over the years, the Lord used to give me a writing every day. I wrote something brand new every day. And I believe most of them didn't get published yet. I published a lot of them. I may have published most of them, but there are some that I've forgotten about. You know, sometimes as Christians, we're not the most organized people, but God blesses us. What I'm saying is when you use the opportunities that God gives, He has something to multiply. He multiplies faithfulness. He even gave me a writing called Multiplying by Faithfulness. He said one reason people are not faithful is because they don't begin to be. And it was a short word. And I wrote it and passed out. People liked it and appreciated it. And that went on for about 9 years. In 1999, the Lord gave me I was laying on the bed just thinking. And He came to me and said, Living Letter Ministries. And I knew what to do from that point on. I knew to take the writings that He gave and make copies and create a mailing list. And I would, all the people and churches on that mailing list, I would send it to them. Just to be a blessing. You know, some of the bigger churches wanted me to stop. But the smaller churches received it. T.D. Jakes and Joyce Meyer sent me a thank you note. And it was a blast. I still have it. It was very encouraging. And the Lord blessed me with this ministry. And it was the order of the day. It really blessed me to do something for the Lord. Because I didn't want to be a preacher that preach every now and then. I wanted to do something every day. And through these broadcasts, I get a chance to, this is an answer to my prayers and desires. I get to minister every day. The things that the Lord is putting fresh in my spirit, man, I can use it. You know, for years, the Lord would give me information and it'd be bottled up inside and you want to share it with people, and some people love it and some people don't seem to appreciate it. But anybody that go to this website, they appreciate it. They want more. Everybody don't have the same, everybody's appetite is different. Some people like a more lively sounding preacher. Some people like a loud preacher. Some people like a preacher that's quiet and give a lot of information. Some people just want to hear somebody with good wisdom. You know, years ago I used to listen to Earl Nightingale, and he was a motivational speaker. He was like America's grandfather. That's what they used to call him. That was one of his names of affection. America's grandfather. And up north they used to listen to him on the radio. He had a radio program, and he sounded just like a wise grandfather sitting at the fireplace teaching his grandchildren and his family. And this man was a blessing. I even believe he was anointed. See, some people, sometimes the Lord had the people that normally wouldn't go to church. Now, a lot of people go to churches and the preacher's that way. He's like the grandfather they never had. He's like the father they never had. And they become mentors. And people finish school, they don't get in gangs, they don't get in trouble, they do better in life because they had somebody in their corner. Now, this man was on the radio for years, and I didn't listen to him until he was a very old man. And he taught the Word of God without using scriptures, because his audience was sometimes the unchurched. And he was very wise. He did things right. And he was one of the great motivational speakers of the day. But I believe he was I know he was a child of God, because he used a lot of scriptural references without naming the scripture. He was trying to appeal to everybody. But he did it in a biblical way. He did it in a very wise way. And some people, they have perceptions. The enemy has given them the wrong impression of church life and Christians. Or they've been hurt at church. But this man could still reach out and show people the wisdom of the Proverbs and the wisdom of the Gospels. And he used the same things that Jesus taught. He just said it differently, and people could live by it. And people love to hear it. There's a lot of people out there. If they would take their behind to church, they would love it. But because they have stereotypical opinions, they won't do it. So the Lord has to create movies, which are parables, to get people interested. And that, you know, it's a blessing. God's love runs deep. Sometimes cold religion gets in the way to buffet people from the heart of God's will, but what I'm trying to say is cold religion scatters people, just like the Pharisees tried to scatter the disciples. And it's still happening. Tares scatter people. They put a bad taste in people's mouth. They have people angry at God because their loved ones died. Whenever people say, well, the Lord took them, God don't go around. He's not in the taking business. He don't go around taking people's lives. People ruin their own life. Sometimes he have to let them go to heaven because they're too weak. They'll fall. The enemy will take them to hell. They'll do things they shouldn't do. And whenever they're close enough, if they're sick, he just let them come to heaven. And that's a whole nother topic. But he don't go around saying, well, I'm just going to take Thurston off the earth today. No, the scriptures is not written that way. The way the scriptures are organized, it says he will satisfy you with life. Now, if you're not satisfied with your days, then God will give you some more. Now, you got to die eventually anyway, whether you want to go or not. If you don't wear your body out, then you get to live. But if you do things that corrupt your body, you're going to die. But if you're blessed and the Lord is, he's able to sustain your life, he will. If you're obedient, you can extend your life. If you get in strife with people, you can shorten your life. If you eat the wrong food, smoke or drink too much, you're going to shorten your life. If you worry too much, you're shortening your life. But if you're a blessing at the right time to the right person, enough, God has to reward you some kind of way. The laws of sowing and reaping suggest that they know that you will be rewarded, because what you sow, you will reap, and your life can be extended. You see, the Lord our God is very wise. Jesus said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." Ministries don't have to always be in the traditional sense. You can do the same thing many ways. There are those who normally wouldn't go to church, but they would read a paper. There were people who would not go to church and listen to a preacher, but they would listen to a man like Earl Nightingale and others. And they always use scriptural references. And a lot of people have gotten saved because their opinions had a chance to be changed and challenged. They heard thoughts that they never heard before, and they longed after it. If there was no enemy seeking to buffer people away when they're at their weakest point, most people would get saved. Salvation is the best deal ever. You can't get a better deal than salvation. Jesus said, if you don't be with me, you scatter. A lot of scattering has happened because people do things according to tradition. Now, everything is, I wanted to speak the things that God had given me. And I would listen to the Lord about how to do what I do. Some people, he released information, things that actually amazes me. And some people, he helped me to hold it back because he know how things will be received. That's why there are unique ministries out there. See, if you follow God, you're going to do something that man can't organize. And there are precious souls out there the Lord wants to receive. And with the right message, the right ministry, the right tactic of the Holy Spirit, he can do it. But when people try to organize God, they're out of order. We don't have the intelligence to try to organize God. We need to be listening to the Holy Spirit. That's what the message of following God is all about. It's putting all your trust, your total trust in the Lord only. And you can do a unique work. And I feel like the things of God are holy. And we need to hear him out in our prayer life. A lot of people, they stunt their growth because they don't hear him out. They're trying to keep God in a certain frame. And they want to make him... They want to do what their predecessors did. Well, what their predecessors did won't always work for God's purpose. In heaven, people are going to be amazed at all the unique things the Lord did, the things that he was behind, the things he helped us to do that won people to the Lord. And it's going to be good. But we have an enemy out there trying to lock us out of the kingdom of heaven, trying to get us to decide of our own free will not to believe, not to go forward, not to learn, not to endeavor, not to find out the reason why things fail. It's all right to ask the Lord why you fail, or why somebody died that you expected to live, that you were believing him for. I believe in asking the Lord all the hard questions that you want to know the answer to, and not just accept phony religious cliches of no value. I've done it. I've asked the Lord, why did they have to die? Or why did it go this way? And I'd be quiet and listen. I had a friend of mine, he died. He got very sick, and I said, "Lord, I want you to raise him up again." I said, "How do I pray for him?" He said, "I'm gonna save him, and I'm gonna take him home." That meant that I couldn't believe God to save him, to heal his body. He had drank so much that he ruined his liver. Now I don't know all the things the doctors told him. But there, it seems to me like they couldn't do anything for him. But the Lord saved him and took him home. Now, because the Lord told me that, I didn't go visit him and I didn't pray for him to be healed. Sometimes you have to give way to what God, what's best. Now, the Lord could have renewed his liver, but he would have kept doing it. And at this point in his life, he would be saved. Now, another similar thing happened with Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin was praying for a guy. He was in and out of church. He would go to church, then he'd go back to whatever he was doing in the world. Then he'd come back to church and try to get his life right. And he got sick. And Kenneth Hagin had his eyes closed. He was going to lay his hands on the guy's head. And the Lord said he felt his hand move, but his eyes was closed. He didn't know who moved his hand. So he prayed again. He put his hands back to pray over it, but he felt somebody move his hands. He felt somebody tangibly move his hands. And the third time, he opened his eyes, about to pray for the guy anyway. And he felt his hand, somebody grab him by the hand and move his hand off of his head. But he didn't see anything. And he said, "Lord, what's going on?" He asked the Lord about it. And the Lord said, "This is as close as he'll ever be to me. If he dies now, he'll go to the kingdom." Only the Lord knows these things. The Lord, my God, evaluates everything. It was better for that guy to pass in the Lord than to go out and fall back into the world and die and be lost forever. So he went to heaven, and he died. The Lord knows all the facts. We don't. Now, people in their best efforts try to express what I just did. The problem is, it makes it look like healing is up to God totally, and it's not. All right. Healing was given to his people. Now, if the enemy attack your body and you get sick and you have an incurable disease that Satan brought about, or it could have been wrong living, eating too much of the wrong thing, you know, drinking too much of the wrong thing can ruin your liver. If you just drink Coca-Colas and Pepsis and things, sodas, and not enough water, then you're going to die. Your body can't take all, but so much of that stuff. You have to have water to keep a healthy kidney. You got to drink a certain amount of clean water. That's just the way it is. You're not meant to drink some of the things that they put in these drinks. Now, if you drink a little bit, it's not going to hurt you. If you drink something once a week, it won't hurt you. But if you drink it as water, I was in my 20s and my back started hurting because all I was drinking was sweet tea and Pepsi and Coke in the heat of the summer. And I didn't drink enough water, and my kidneys just, they started giving me pain. I picked up a transmission, and my back went out. And I have a muscular back because I work it out when I go to the gym. I work my abs and my back first. Then I do my arms and my chest area. So I didn't have a back problem. I realized I didn't drink enough water. So for 4 days, I didn't drink anything but water, not even orange juice. And my back came back. Now, but the Lord can restore any part of your body. He can restore it. By Jesus' stripes, we're healed. He gave us healing because we need it. If he anoint a man and then his liver go out, now the Lord can't use his anointing in the earth to finish his course. So the Lord gave us healing. And if you don't wear your body out, He can heal you. Now, when the Lord explain things and do things to help people out, he's using the best judgment. And I believe that men of God have done good by trying to give God that room to do it. Because it's needful. But the Word of God promises us healing is a promise. You can't make a doctrine and say that God heals sometimes when he wants to. Or in his infinite, we don't know why God did things. We should be in the know. The fact that we don't know things, that's not good. The only reason we don't know things is because people don't seek. Jesus said, "Seek and you will find." That by itself is a promise. And if more people would seek and find and knock and ask, they would be getting the answers, and they'll stop spreading spiritual rumors. Now, people can judge right and wrong. And the things I just explained made sense. It makes more sense for a man to go to heaven now than to be healed and then risk going to hell. Because the Lord can see his decisions in the future. But right now, his heart was towards God. And if he died in that condition, he'd be fine. He'd have the strength of heaven around him, and he'd become strong and sober. He'll be sober in his mind, his heart, and his emotions. And Jesus put things in place so that we all can have the same things that I just described. A sound mind, healthy emotions, strong body. That's what he paid for, so we can have that. And that's what we need to preach, because some people are in doubt whether it's God's will to heal or not when Jesus already paid the price for them to get healed. You're just going to have to learn to stand on the scriptures. Many people are stable, and they're not going to go back to the world no matter what happens. And that's wonderful. So they need to be healed so they can be here, so that their everyday routine can be ministry, and so that they can thrive and enjoy life with their family. It wasn't God's perfect will for us to die in the first place. That's because man was hard-headed. But we can't make a doctrine out of one thing. The Word of God, he gave us true and precious promises. And by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we can learn whatever we need to learn. If you want to know something, that's enough for God. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in your life.